Joe, how are you, bud?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me.
Oh, I appreciate you coming on again. And we talk a little bit about this draft. They've kind of been left behind with the Daniel Jones decision and all that's going on over there and the early picks that the Giants had. But the Jets got the player that was easiest to pick. It seems like we've been talking for a few years now about, the player that probably that people rated was best was fell to the Jets. He fell to the Jets. Here we are in 2019. Again, he fell to the Jets. What's your thoughts on Quinnen Williams?
Look, I think you can make a very fair case that Quinnen Williams is the best overall player in this class. I think he definitely has the highest floor of all of those guys who went in the top, sort of 5 to 7 range. I don't think there's any doubt that he's going to be at least a very good player in the middle of the Jets defense. Is he going to be great? Is he going to be the next Aaron Donald? I don't know about that, but I do think he's a much better prospect than Leonard Williams, a guy they took who plays a similar position a few years back, and even better than Wilkerson and Richardson, who they also took in the first round. This has obviously been a reoccurring theme for the Jets, drafting interior defensive linemen when they already have other first-round pick interior defensive linemen on their board. But I think they felt internally that Williams was just a much safer pick than potentially going for a guy like Josh Allen, who would have checked the box at edge. Or they didn't feel good about the value of a potential trade down, which a lot of people thought they were going to ultimately end up doing, which could have made sense considering some of their holes on both sides of the football. So I don't think with Quinnen Williams it's a question of, is he going to be a good player? I do think there's a high enough floor where you should feel confident in that. It's a question of, with the Jets' current roster construction, can they maximize the value from him and get after the quarterback with really only an interior pass rush with how they're currently built out?
Yeah, and that concerns everybody. I mean, Giant fans are feeling the same way about their pick, Dexter Lawrence, in the 17th pick, is that, he can't get to the quarterback, and he basically replaces Snacks Harrison, but that's it, and they need more than that. Jets did try to address later on the edge rusher a little bit. Before we get into the front office rumors and how much that might have floored you when you saw it yesterday, give us your thoughts on the draft so far for the Jets.
Well, I think going Jakai Polite in the third round is a worthwhile swing. It's the type of thing that teams like the Jets need to do. You need to take a couple of risks on day two to see if you could fill some of your needs. So they didn't go edge rusher on day one. I think Polite was a guy that a lot of people thought was a borderline first-round prospect. He's only 21 years old. He dropped into the third round because he did very poorly in the pre-draft process. He did not interview well. He did not test well. It's up to you whether you think that overrules all the tape that he put together at Florida, which is obviously the highest level of competition in college football. And he was very productive there and is a natural pass rusher. And sometimes you got to take a risk on day two. And I'd rather see the Jets take a risk on a talented player like Polite than go the safe route and take a 24 or 25-year-old defensive lineman or a 23 or 24-year-old low-ceiling receiver out of Alabama. Those are some of the other things they've done recently in the third round. So I think based on their previous history and how their roster is built out, I think that was a move that made sense. They also traded up a pick in the third round to give up a pick, which they did eventually work to get back, to get Sam Darnold's former right tackle from USC, Chuma Adoga, who I think where he was taken is a reasonable swing. Obviously, these guys, when you get to day two and day three, they're a mix of dart throws, but he does hit the profile of a guy with the athleticism to sit a year and then potentially compete to be a starting tackle in year two. And the Jets needed to address an offensive line and just take more swings at that position. It's something they haven't done in recent years in the NFL draft.
What are they going to do about center?
Center and cornerback are really the two outstanding major questions on the roster. Any player that they draft at this point, you can't really expect him to come in and start as a rookie, a guy you take in round, 5, 6, or 7.
Right.
They have Jonathan Harrison, who's been a backup for them the past 2 years, has a little starting experience, but would you feel confident with him starting all 6 games? I certainly wouldn't. And they could still certainly look at the veteran market if a couple guys shake free or get cut in training camp, but it's going to be a problem area. And we've seen the past few years that bad play at center can trickle down to the rest of the offensive line. They struggled with Spencer Long. They struggled with Wesley Johnson. It hasn't been easy to replace Nick Mangold. And they didn't address it in free agency, and they haven't addressed it in the early rounds of the draft. So it's going to be a question, and it's going to be a problem. And I think a corner, right now, you're basically starting Tremaine Johnson, who struggled a lot last year.
Sure did.
Dale Roberts, who's been a fourth corner for them the past few years. And Brian Poole, a guy they brought over to replace Buster Screen, who's okay. I would say it's probably like a younger version of Screen. So those two positions really stick out right now. as being big problems on offense and defense.
All right, we're talking to Joe Caparoso. TurnOnTheJets.com is where you can find him and his opinions. And yesterday we started hearing rumors that there's problems between Maccagnan and Gase. You and I have talked before about, you know, just the dysfunction of how they are seemingly run, which frustrates every Jet fan a little bit in that, you know, it doesn't seem to the public anyway that oftentimes one hand or one, you know, one side knows what the other side is doing. So what are your thoughts about the potential for trouble in the front office of the Jets right now?
Well, I think the potential has always been there. I'm surprised we're starting to hear some rumblings this early. Usually you would wait and expect maybe if the team's struggling a little bit or they're into their second year, then some of this stuff starts leaking out. I think with Adam Gase's personality and that he had personnel control in Miami, it's logical to think there was eventually going to be some friction. Mike Maccagnan has been here for 4 years. The Jets haven't really had a lot of success, so it's not like he has a big resume to fall back on if he's going back and forth with Gase. I also think, you know, when we hear about a potential shakeup in the Jets front office, which is what guys like Mike Lombardi and Tony Pauline have been talking about, I don't necessarily know if that means that they're going to fire Mike Maccagnan at this point in the offseason. That would seem pretty crazy. I think he's here for 2019, but could that mean that his number two, a guy that's getting a pretty good reputation around the league, and Brian Heimerdinger, maybe is unhappy and is looking to go somewhere else? Could there be some segments in the Jets, you know, scouting department and front office and coaching staff and some disagreements about whether it was smart to pay Le'Veon Bell or whether it was smart not to sign a center like Mitch Morris or Matt Paradis or whether they should have traded back? It sounds like there is, you know, some type of debate or conflict going on to the point where, you know, Chris Johnson has been around the building a little more and there's been a little more supervision of their relationship. Now, a lot of that can be common in NFL front offices and you want people challenging and pushing each other. I'm curious to see if there's any shakeup with the scouting department in front office outside of Maccagnan after the draft. And then if the Jets struggle or start out slow with that tough first six games, do we start hearing more stories like this about disagreements between Gase and Maccagnan?
All right, let's talk about where they are right now in your mind and what have they done outside of Le'Veon Bell to really help Sam Darnold and his mental game in terms of feeling good about himself and feeling like, yes, I belong, I am one of the better quarterbacks, and I have the weapons to help me prove that. We all were impressed with Herndon. We know that the offensive line is a little shady. And let's face it, the wide receivers are at best average, I mean, as a group. So, you know, I wanted to see more there. I know the draft wasn't deep there. As you look at it and you talk to Jet fans and Jet people, what's your sense of their biggest needs and what's your biggest concern going into 2019 as you look at this club right now?
Well, I think this is an offense-dominated league. Darnold's the biggest investment this franchise has made in decades, I would say. So you want to do everything you can to make life easier for him. And I'm not sure they've gotten all the way there yet. I think paying Le'Veon Bell, trading for Kelechi Osemele, and signing Jamison Crowder are good first steps. I don't know if this is all going to be fixed in one off season, which is a problem when you've had the same front office for four other seasons. But my concern is the offensive line. The depth is still a question. Center, as we talked about, is a question. They're really one injury away there from that being a questionable situation to a really bad situation. And I think at receiver, Robbie Anderson has shown a lot. He came on strong down the stretch last year. Like Quincy Enunwa's game, has not proven he could stay healthy. And then Crowder, who has been good but was a little banged up last year. So you worry about the depth there. You don't want to be in a Enunwa injury away from having to start a guy like Josh Bellamy, who they signed to be a special teamer, or some other back of the roster guy. So I think the depth is a concern. And the reality is that, again, you can only fix so much in one off season. They're going to rely a lot on Le'Veon Bell, who's coming back after a year off. And if he's 90% of the guy he was, he's going to be the best skill position player this team has had since Curtis Martin. They're going to rely a lot on Chris Herndon, but he's going to be suspended probably the first couple games of the year. And they're going to hope that Robbie Anderson takes the next step. So there's definitely some questions about the depth. And if a guy like Enunwa could stay healthy for 16 games, and if Brandon Shell could come back healthy and be a solid right tackle for 16 games, is it the best supporting cast in the AFC? No. I think if you look at this roster right now, it's probably a 7 or 8-win roster, depending on how good Darnold is and how big of a step he takes. And we're going to have to see if they make any more moves over the summer with some late roster cuts or maybe a potential trade. I wouldn't say they're all the way there yet, though.
No, I think you make a very good point about corner. That has to be quite a consideration. And can they get to the quarterback, which has been, you know, a problem forever? I mean, who knew that John Abraham would be the last guy you could remember? And as Jet fans remember, like I do, John Abraham killed you because he got hurt all the time, and you were just like, he was just the biggest problem player because you knew he was great when he played, but you also knew you couldn't rely on him. So it was like, I don't want to get rid of him, but I don't want to keep him because he never plays.
Exactly. And they've been searching for this edge forever. And I think they're going to hope that Polite ends up being their first-round guy. It's a lot to ask for a rookie, and yep, maybe he gets there after a couple of years. But it's still a problem area because really outside of him, you have, you know, Jordan Jenkins, Brandon Copeland, guys who you want as sort of supporting players off the edge, but no one you would bet on getting 10 or 15 sacks this year.
No, and you really don't want an edge rusher that's Polite, do you? Oh, that's bad comedy. Another dad joke. Another dad joke comes out here. I just take the lowest hanging fruit and I go with it. Joe, enjoyed the conversation. Continued success with TurnOnTheJets.com, and we'll talk to you down the road. Thanks.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
There you go. That's Joe Caparoso, TurnOnTheJets.com.